Welcome to Ideas and Issues. I'm Hula Follett, Professor of Philosophy at East Tennessee State University, and I'm hosting tonight's program. My guest this evening is Wei-Jing Chen, Professor of Political Science at ETSU, and we're going to be discussing population control and abortion in China. Glad to have you with us.
It's my pleasure.
This should be a very interesting discussion because the attitudes toward population control and abortion in China strikes me as being very different than the attitudes toward population control and abortion in this country. Perhaps you can tell the listeners a little bit about the current policy, governmental policy, toward population control.
China's birth control policy is characterized by one child per family, but there are exceptions, and in certain rural areas, couples may have the second child if the first one is a girl. And in urban areas, and people who are divorced and did not have the custody of their children from the first marriage and may get permission to have the second one for them. And also in other cases, people whose first child is handicapped may get permission to have the second child. But in general, it is one child per family birth control policy throughout China.
Well, that certainly is very unusual by American standards. I mean, certainly there are people who have no kids or one child, but certainly a large number of families will have two or more and would be appalled at the idea that the government might intervene and limit the number of children you might have. Could you explain to us the policy? What's the rationale for the policy? In particular, I take it that some of it has to do with population growth. Could you explain maybe what the problem is?
In general, the policy, the rationale concerns the conflict between China's physical capacity to satisfy the steadily growing demand for food. And if population is not controlled in China, China is unable to feed its population in general. So that is, in general terms, the rationale for this birth control policy.
How serious is the population problem?
The population is a very serious thing in China, because the population before the implementation of the birth control policy in the 70s, the population growth was very fast. Between 1952 and 1970, the annual average natural population growth rate was about 23 per thousand. The population increased from 570 million in 1952 to 830 million in 1970. And since the implementation of the birth control policy in the 70s, the annual average natural population growth rate between 1970 and 1993 was still about 12 per thousand. Today, China has a population of 1.2 billion. That is, between 1950 and 1990, China added 630 million people.
Which is roughly three times the population of the United States.
That's right.
Now.
Okay. That's right.
So that gives people a sense of the large number of people in China. Well, I take it, too, you mentioned that the problem was not just the number of people, but the ability of the land to support those people. And so I take it part of the problem is that there's not as much arable land as you would need to support a fast-growing population. Do you have some of those figures to hand?
Yeah, I think, if we look at the birth control policy from a comparative perspective, we could understand it much better. And for instance, the inhabited part of China is roughly half as large as the inhabited part of the United States. Yet it supports five times as many people. The United States has about 570,000 square miles under cultivation, and China, 150,000, with little prospect of increasing that area. In fact, for the last few decades, that area has been diminishing due to soil erosion, soil compaction, the loss of soil organic matter, and the building of infrastructure and houses. And here in the United States, each individual, on average, has about 32 acres of land, while each individual in China, on average, has only 3/4 of an acre. In fact, in reality, the situation is even worse, because 6/7 of China's population are living on 1/3 of the land that is cultivable along the East Coast. So each individual, on average, has less than 1/10 of an acre. Let's just imagine that if the population of the United States from an area, in an area from Florida to Maine, from New York and Chicago, is 1 billion, so how our life would be different.
Okay. So if you're talking about a third of the country and multiplying our population by a factor of 4, it certainly would be a very different lifestyle.
That's right.
So all of this is somehow tied up then with the ability to feed the people and with the potential for economic growth. Is that correct?
Yes. The effects of such a large population on the quality of life are enormous, and also on the way of life are enormous. If population is not controlled in China, there would be shortage of food, water, and energy. Economic growth rate would mean nothing. For the last 10 years, China was able to maintain a 10% economic growth rate. But if the population growth rate was higher, was faster than that, so economic growth rate would mean nothing. And to the Chinese, eventually there would be a population explosion, and because China simply could not afford such larger population unless the population is controlled.
Well, let me ask then, I mean, it might seem to someone over here that it's just obvious if you're a young person, you're thinking about having a family, that having a family, certainly more than one child in China, would be seemingly disadvantageous because it would lead to the further population growth, a diminishment of arable land, decrease in the economic growth rate in China. Do most Chinese, are most Chinese citizens sympathetic with the new policy?
I think there is fundamental difference between residents, urban residents, and the rural residents. Most urban residents very well understand the consequences if population is not controlled. And not like here in the United States, you know, the difference between the urban and the rural area is fundamental. And in some cases, for instance, prisoners are sent to rural areas, not to prison. And so
in China, this
in China, not here.
Okay.
And because people's perceptions and in rural areas and in urban areas are so different, different.
Could you explain what these differences are?
Rural China basically is underdeveloped. And people, basically peasants, are not educated, and they do not have the access as urban residents to information, to ideas. And for the last few years, they did benefit from the economic growth, and but before the reform, they did not even benefit from the success of economic growth. So basically they were underdeveloped, uneducated, and do not have access to information and ideas.
Okay, so I take it that together, then, what that means is that many of the rural people simply would not understand the seriousness of the problem as you've described it to me today.
That's right.
They might even see it as some sort of something the government had fabricated.
For parents to have one child, two children, or three children, so it really does not make much difference because they are living on a piece of land. So not like urban residents. So the mentality in rural China has always been the more children, the better. You know, that mentality has not changed. And even today in rural areas, people still believe the more children they may have, the better off they will be.
Okay, why would they think that? Is this just some sort of irrationality, or is there a reason why they might think that they need to have large families?
I think, you know, it's both an economic thing and a cultural thing. It's an economic thing because for centuries, China's rural area was underdeveloped. China, in general, was an agrarian society. So under conditions of underdevelopment, children were viewed as assets. So that is, the number would make a difference. The more children, the more assets you have. But as time went on, it became a cultural thing. You know, now if you ask, for instance, Chinese peasants to explain to you why they want more children, probably they will have a hard time explaining it after so many centuries. And they just say, you know, I just want more children. That's it.
Okay. Well, I want to pick this theme up in a second again, but okay. I'd like to pause at least briefly to welcome any visitors who just have tuned in to the show, any listeners. I'm Hugh LaFollette, and my guest this evening on Ideas and Issues is Weijing Chen of the Political Science Department at East Tennessee State University. And we're discussing population control and abortion in China. Just a moment ago, you were talking about the different mentality of peasants, their need or their feeling they had a need to have large families. It strikes me that at least the first justification you gave, which is an economic one, is a justification that ought to be familiar to a large number of people in this country. My parents and certainly my grandparents grew up on a farm, and those were the days in which you had primarily labor-intensive farming. The farming was done by individuals, not by large machines. And having other hands around the house who could do the farming, who could help prepare the food, was simply one important way of maintaining and keeping the family going. And it strikes me that, from what you said at least, that would be true historically of the rural population in China. Is that correct?
Yeah, historically, you know, that was the case. But, you know, since people had the mentality for a long time, you know, it also became a cultural thing.
Could you say a little bit more about when you say it's a cultural thing, what exactly you mean by that? Is it just that it's a habit, or is it somehow tied up with religious views, or?
It was a habit, and it was an attitude. And also, you know, for instance, if everybody around you is having a large family, but you don't, and then you feel, you know, isolated, you will feel isolated from the community, and you will feel inferior.
Okay.
And, you know, in a collective society, group-oriented society, that's something, you know, you need to think of. All the others have large families, but you don't. So in a community, your position probably will be defined by the size of your family. In many villages in China, and a peasant's status in the village is defined by the size of his or her family.
Okay. So, well, now, what can be done to change the attitude? I mean, it strikes me that having a law which forces people to have smaller families certainly goes some distance to lowering the population, but if in the process of doing so, you're developing a considerable amount of animosity toward the government, perhaps it's not an entirely wise policy. It would make more sense if you could change the desires
yeah.
of the people in China. What could be done to change their feeling they need to have large families?
I think it's a really complicated question. First of all, it would take time for people to change their attitudes that were developed over the years. So on one hand, the government could not afford to wait for the change of attitudes. But on the other hand, there are a lot of things that need to be done to change people's attitudes toward large families. There are several things that could be done. For instance, number one, to promote industrialization and economic growth in rural areas. This would change the form of family farming and change peasants' attitude toward children. So in other words, children would not be regarded as assets if the economy develops. Number two, to establish welfare program for the elderly. In China, it is the responsibility and obligation of the children to look after their parents when their parents are getting old. So if the more children you have, you will feel more secure. So if welfare programs or good welfare programs are established, and then people may feel more secure, and then they may change their attitudes. And number three, the traditional way of marriage and it should also be changed. And in China today, when people get married, the female and then became a member of the husband's family. So to many parents, that means they are raising children for nothing, because when their daughters are getting married, they lost them totally. But that's the way that has been the way of life in China for centuries. So the way of the marriage, probably, the traditional way of marriage, and it should be changed in order to change people's attitudes toward, you know, and large families. So if you have, for instance, four daughters, and they all married out, and then you have none left, so they don't feel secure. One last thing, number four, I guess, that is education. I'm not sure, what is the correlation between small family and education, but it seems to me that in China today, the educated people don't have large families, they have small families. So I do think, you know, education is an important variable there.
Okay. Now, obviously then the desire is to control the number of new children who are born to bring down the rate of population growth rate, and ultimately, I suppose, the actual total number of people in China. Do most people have easy access to birth control?
Birth control and contraceptives basically are available free of charge both in urban areas and in rural areas. But the problem is peasants simply don't use them. So you have to convince peasants to use them. They are basically available.
Okay, so pretty much everyone can have access to them, and if someone gets pregnant, it's perhaps an accident, but most likely just because someone didn't use the available birth control.
Right.
Okay. Well, now that brings up the question of abortion. Government has a policy that says you can only have one child. Presumably, if someone by accident wants to follow the government policy but has a second child, then the obvious route for them is to have an abortion. And I take it that a number of people would actually choose that route. It's not that they would be forced to, but at least a number of people would choose that route. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The more contentious issue, though, are going to be those cases where people have more children than they're supposed to by government policy because they want to have more children. Does the government force abortions in these cases?
Yes, the answer to that question is yes. first of all, people in the urban area who want to have the second child, for instance, and they have to think of the consequences if they choose to do so. The consequences include, for instance, and large sums of money as a fine, probably you will lose your jobs, you know, punishment. And so because of the consequences, you know, very few and people really want the second child. They don't want to lose their jobs. They do not have the money to pay, you know, the fines. And besides, if you choose to have the second child, you are unable to register your child. That means your second child may not have an opportunity for education and for a lot of other benefits provided by the government.
Ah, okay, I didn't realize that. So it would almost be like the child was born in exile.
Illegal. Okay. Just the illegal immigrants, you know.
Oh, okay.
And you don't enjoy those benefits, especially and education.
Okay. Well, so in that case, then, it's not really that abortion is forced in the sense of, you know, being forcibly taken to the hospital and inducing abortion, but forced in the sense that the penalties are severe if you do have a child and don't have an abortion. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's in urban area, basically, and that's the case.
Oh, okay. So I take it it's different in rural areas.
Yeah, right.
Okay. What exactly?
In rural areas, and parents, first of all, they don't care very much about the consequences. They don't have a job to lose, and many peasant children don't go to school anyway. So, and so in many cases, peasants who choose to have the second or the third child are physically forced to have abortions because they don't care about the consequences at all.
Okay. Well, what's the attitude of most people in China to the practice of forced abortion? Okay, I mean, the idea of using penalties might be offensive to a number of people, but it would be seen as perhaps a less intrusive way of enforcing the governmental policy. I suspect at least most people in this country, or a lot of people in this country, would be offended by the idea of a forced abortion. How does the average person in China react to forcing a woman to have an abortion?
To be honest, most people do think, especially people in urban areas, do think it's necessary to force peasants and to have abortions because they just don't listen. And the contraceptives available, they don't use. And they just want to have children. If you don't force them to have abortion, they have the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, just no end. But on the other hand, it's really, you know, inhuman in a sense, but that's the kind of dilemma.
I wonder if the people living in urban areas would be as, I mean, it sounds like from what you said that the people in urban areas aren't bothered as much by the prospect of people in rural areas having forced abortions. I wonder if they would have the same reaction if there were more forced abortions within urban areas.
No, in the urban areas, they do not physically force you to have abortions, probably.
So, all right. So some of it may have to do just with the difference between the urban and rural populations.
That's correct.
Okay. But your last comment, though, I think gets to the crux of what the problem is, that there's some sort of fundamental choice to be made here about individual welfare versus cooperative welfare, as you've painted the picture. Perhaps it would be nice to give individuals the chance of having large families, but the social costs of allowing that are just too great.
That's correct. Even under the one child per family policy, China is producing 14 million people every year. 14 million is roughly equivalent to the population of Australia. So in other words, China is producing when Australia every year, even under this one child per family policy. So, and China today is feeding 25% of the world's population from only 7% of the world's arable land. So if not, population is not controlled, you know, and there would be population explosion. China would not have the physical capacity to feed its population. So what alternatives are there? If there are alternatives, I do think that individuals should have the right to have more children. But when you think of the well-being of the society, and then you don't want to give birth to your children in order to make them suffer and die because of shortage of food, water, and energy. So that's the kind of dilemma you have to, you know, and deal with, I guess.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that in the West, we live in a place where there's a lot of arable land, there's still a lot of room to expand, that if we criticize the Chinese policy, we may be criticizing the policy out of ignorance. Basically, as I take it, the choices are three. Something like the current policy, which includes, among other things, forced abortions, a population explosion, which leads to large numbers of people dying from starvation, or mass immigration out of China, which I take it a lot of people would not like.
No, I don't think people would like that idea. And also, let's just assume that the United States today had a population of 1.2 billion. So do you think the issues involved in the debate about abortion would be different?
Okay. So we got to ask the question not just in the abstract, what do we think about birth control and what do we think about abortion, but what do we think about it in the context?
The context.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
I've been talking this evening with Weijing Chen, Professor of Political Science at East Tennessee State University. I'm glad you're able to join us. This has been Hugh LaFollette for Ideas and Issues. Good evening.